Okay, so we're officially doing Daf Zayin today, but we have a lot of ground to cover because we still are on sort of the top of Vava Mubez. We're in the middle of a discussion, a very interesting discussion, about the price, the minimum you have to spend for the Karban Chagiga and for the Karban Re'iyah. So Machlokes in the Mishnah, in Daf Bez, Beis Hillel was of the opinion that the Chagiga should cost more, and the Gemara infers from that the Chagiga somehow is more important. Whereas Beis Shammai says the Re'iyah should cost more, implying that the Re'iyah is more important. So the Gemara wanted to know, on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, what was the logic there? So one of the reasons why Beis Hillel had said that the Chagiga should cost more is because it was Yishna Lefnei HaDibor. Because since they brought the Karban Chagiga in the Midbar, pre-Matan Torah, that gives it a level of Chashivas, whereas the Karban Re'iyah they didn't do. And then the Gemara asked, what does Beis Shammai do with that? So Beis Shammai argued and said, what are you talking about? The same pasuk that says they brought Zvachim in the Midbar also says they brought Olos in the Midbar. Right. So they brought an Olos. And then what does Beis Hillel respond to that? Beis Hillel responds, the Olo that they were talking about in the pasuk wasn't an Olos Re'iyah, it was an Olos Tamid, which is the daily offering that they would eventually bring in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's kind of, we're in the middle of that discussion. We had two camps. We had the Beis Hillel camp, who says that the Ola they brought in the Midbar was the Olas Tamid, and Beis Shammai camp, which is it was the Olas Re'iyah. So we try to bring proofs for the different opinions. One of them was Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael had said that at Har Sinai, the Jews only received the general categories, right? And so, for example, Rashi pointed out, what they didn't receive was the details. So Hashem said, bring a karban, but didn't instruct them how to dice it, how to skin it. So Rabbi Shmuel says they only learned that at Ohel Moed. So the Gemara inferred, well, if what they brought in the Midbar was an Olas Tamid, now that would come out a weird result because they didn't know the details yet of the Olas Tamid. So they would bring it without the Hefshet Vini Tuach, without the dicing, without the skinning, and then a week later at Ohel Moed, then they do bring it with that. Whereas the Olas Re'iyah, since they would bring it on their own, you don't have that same issue. So we spoke out that shita. We spoke out Rabbi Elazar shita, who said since the pasuk says Olas Tamid Hasu Yaba Har Sinai, the Olas Tamid it was only spoken about at Har Sinai, but it wasn't brought at Har Sinai. So that was the camp that said that the Ola that was brought in the Midbar was the Olas Re'iyah. Okay, so now we're about 8 or 9 lines from the top of Vav Amud Beis. We're continuing in that discussion. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Karva Veshuv Lo Pascha. Rabbi Akiva says that in the Midbar, they brought the Karban Tamid, and they never stopped bringing it. So this was a continuous pattern from the times of the Midbar throughout. So the Gemara asks, you're telling me that throughout the entire journey in the Midbar, they brought a Karban Tamid every day? Elamani Mekayim, Hazvachim Umincha, Higashim Liba Midbar Arbim Shana, Beis Yisrael, meaning the pasuk's almost rhetorical, that God says to them, you really think you're going to bring karbanos to me for these 40 years? No, you're not, because we don't have that relationship anymore. You sinned with the Egel HaZahav, right? We're not as close as we once were, and so of course you will not be bringing the karbanos the same way you were in the beginning. So how could Rabbi Akiva say they brought the karban tamid and then they brought it every single day, the entire journey, but the pasuk seems to imply that they didn't? So the Gemara, yeah, Vavim Beis. The Gemara. It's like 10 lines from the top, above and viz. So the Gemara answers, Shifto shel Levi, shelo avdu avodazara, hein hikrivu osa. So Rabbi Kiva's correct. They brought the Olas Tamid throughout the journey. Aye, but the Pasuk tells us that they really didn't. Yes, the entire Klal Yisrael didn't, because they were affected, they were tainted by the sin of the Egel HaZahav. But we know Shevet Levi, who didn't worship the Egel HaZahav, they weren't tainted by that sin, and therefore they were able to continue the Olas Tamid every day, even when the rest of the Bnei Yisrael could not. So now we're moving on to the other camp, the Beis Hillel camp. Remember, Beis Hillel was of the opinion that the carbon that they brought in the Midbar was the Olas Tamid, not the Olas Re'iyah. So, says the Gemara, Beis Hillel hada Amran. We already saw that in the Bava Med Aleph. Rabbi Akiva hanami da Amran. Rabbi Kivo just said that they brought it in Shuv Lo Pascha. They brought the Olas Tamid the entire journey in the Midbar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, where do we see Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds that the carbon they brought in the Midbar was the Olas Tamid? Titani, Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, Shalosh mitzvos nistavu Yisrael balosam l'regel. There are three mitzvos that a Jew does when he's Ola l'regel. Number one, Re'iyah. Number two, Chagiga. And number three, Simcha. The Gemara is going to say that each of these three mitzvos have unique characteristics and traits. Says the Gemara, Yesh b'ri'iyah she'en b'shtehen. There's something that the ri'iyah has that the other two don't. Yesh b'chagiga she'en b'shtehen. Yesh b'simcha she'en b'shtehen. So we're going to identify the unique traits of each of these three mitzvos. Yesh b'ri'iyah she'en b'shtehen. You know what's unique about the mitzvah of ri'iyah? Shehari'iyah ola kul l'gvoa. Because the carbon olas ri'iyah is just that. It's an ola. We know an ola is brought completely to Hashem. Whereas the carbon chagiga and the carbon simcha are both shlamim, and shlamim are split. We get to eat some of that also. So that's why the olas ri'iyah is unique. Yish b'chagiga she'in ma'she'in kin b'shtehem. Why? She'chagiga yish nolfei hadibor ma'she'in kin b'shtehem. Because chagiga was brought pre-matan Torah, as opposed to the other two. So pause right there. That's our proof. Because we're trying to find people that are in the camp that what was brought in the Midbar was an olas tamid. So why is this the proof? Because it says that they brought an Ola in the Midbar. So why are you telling me that only the Chagiga was brought Pimatan Torah? Wasn't the Ola Sriya also brought Pimatan Torah? It must be that Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds that no. What was the Ola that was brought in the Midbar? It wasn't an Ola Sriya. It must have been an Ola Tamid. And now continuing, Yish b'simcha ma'she'in b'shtehem, why? Sha'simcha no heges ba'anashim u'banashim ma'she'in b'shtehem. We spoke about in previous weeks how the mitzvah of simcha on the regel applies to men and women. Now, we as men manifest itself through the karban, women in other ways, but we know that women from the first Mishnah are exempt from the karban riyah and are exempt from the karban chagiga. So that's how the mitzvah of simcha is unique in that women are also involved. So now the Gemara is going back, and if you remember, I started out by saying that Rabbi Shmuel was in the camp that they brought an Olas Re'iyah in the Midbar. And what was the Gemara's proof? And again, that lines up with Beis Shammai, who we don't paskin like. And our proof was, because only broad strokes were said at Har Sinai, at Ohel Moed the details. So what was our proof again? Our proof was that if the carbon they brought in the Midbar was an Olas Tamid, then a weird result would emerge. What would emerge is that when they brought the Olas Tamid in the Midbar, or after Har Sinai, they brought it without certain halachos. Because they didn't know yet how to skin it, how to dice it, and later on they learned that. So the Gemara found that to be weird. How could it be that a week earlier I was doing the karban without certain halachos, and then a week later I'm doing it with certain halachos? So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel must hold it was the Olas Re'iyah. So the Gemara is going to question that logic, that we're lining up Rabbi Shmuel with Beis Shammai because of this weird result. Is the result really so weird?
They did it before Mount Sinai. What did they do?
Rashi says that what it's a good point. Rashi says that they brought it by themselves.
Right. What were they reading? What? There's no Mishkan at that point.
I agree with you. The pasuk says they brought an Ola. We want to know what type of Ola that was. It was a precursor to the Olas Re'iyah that will be.
All right, it could have been just a random Ola.
Correct. Correct. That opinion holds that when it said Ola, it was referring to this carbon. That will your point is well taken in the sense that there's no concept of Re'iyah in the Midbar,
right,
but it was a precursor to that carbon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, my taima kamuk masla kibe shamai. The Gemara is chazer now. So the Gemara says, remember, why did we want to line up Rabbi Shmuel with Beis Shammai and say that Rabbi Shmuel holds the carbon they brought in the Midbar was an Olas Re'iyah? You remember is, because Isak, Daidach Olas Shekiv Yisrael Midbar, Olas Tamid Havai, because if it was an Olas Tamid, it's going to come out a weird result. Mi'ikamidi, how could it be, to Me'ikara, by Har Sinai, lo by Hefshe Beni Tuach, this carbon Tamid would not require skinning and dicing, ulubisof, and then after they learn the halachos in Ohel Moed, boy hefshaveni suach. So the Gemara questions that. Is that a weird result? V'ha Rabbi Yosi Aglili de Amar, olas yekrivi yisrael b'midbar, olas tamid have. He's of the opinion that the carbon they brought in the Midbar was in fact an olas tamid, and it's not weird. Me'ikara lo boy hefshaveni tuach, ulubisof, boy hefshaveni tuach. Why is that a weird result? if someone gives you instructions, you do whatever you can do. If you find, you know, we try to practice our religion to the best of our ability. If later in life you find out another halacha that you didn't know about, now you start practicing it with a higher level of rigor. You know, so the same thing could have happened there. They're doing whatever they were told. They happen to have not been instructed about these two halachos. So why is that weird? And then a week later, when they were told about them, they started practicing them. So why, because of the law, that can't happen? Yes, it can happen. Detanya, Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Ola Shekivis Ola Midbar, Eina Tuna Hashemini Tuach, Lefi She'ein Hashemini Tuach, Elam Yolo Meba Eilach. Right? You know why they didn't do it after Har Sinai? Because they weren't instructed about it yet. And that's not a problem. That's not a chisaron. That's not a lacking, because they didn't know about it. And once they learn about it, now they start practicing it. So the Gemara answers, it's a very valid point, and because it's such a valid point, Sami Mikan Rabbi Shmuel. Sami means to erase or remove. Meaning we had initially put Rabbi Shmuel in the Beis Shammai camp based on that proof. We're saying that proof is no longer a proof, and therefore take him off the list. That proof was a rejected proof.
How did they early on offer? They didn't skin it, they didn't dismember it. How did they offer?
On the fire. They just offered the carbon. They burned it. Yeah. They didn't know that they had to do that. They were never instructed. So now, something very interesting. We mentioned that there's a pasuk that describes that in the Midbar, they brought olos and they brought zvachim. So they brought carbon ola and a carbon shlamim. So the carbon shlamim was the carbon chagiga. What was the ola? Either a tamid or a re'iyah. So the Gemara has an interesting question over here. Bayer of Chista. Haikra hichiksiv. How do you read this pasuk? Where do you put the stopping point? So the Gemara suggests two possibilities. Do you say, Vayishlach es nari b'nei Yisrael, Vayalu olos, period? Because the beginning of the pasuk says that the young Jewish people, they brought olos. So do you put a period there, and then we have to identify what kind of animal was the carbon ola, and what kind of animal was the carbon chagiga? So if you put a period there in the pasuk, afterward olos, the Gemara suggests maybe that refers to kvasim, sheep. So when the Torah says they brought olos, maybe that meant sheep. And then the pasuk continues and says, v'yizbichu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim, cows. So if you put a period after olos, you break up the pasuk. Part one of the pasuk is they brought olos. What were those? We're gonna with our own intuition, we're gonna intuit. Not in the pasuk. Not in the pasuk. Parim is in the pasuk. So if you put a period there, we're saying part one of the pasuk is a separate subject. They brought olos. What type? We're gonna intuit that it was kvasim. The sefer of the pasuk says they brought shlamim, and what were those? The pasuk says they were parim. Oh, says the Gemara, if you don't put a period there, dilma aidi va'aidi parim have. Meaning, read the pasuk as in one fell swoop. That they brought olos, they brought shlamim l'Hashem, and what were they? Last word in the pasuk is parim. So now we seem to have two ways to read a pasuk. Nafgamina being, we know that the shlamim they brought were cows. But what were the olos they brought? Were they sheep or were they cows? So the Gemara asks a very obvious question. L'may nafgamina. How is that going to affect my life in 2020? Okay, whatever they brought, they brought. They brought sheep, they brought cows, they brought kangaroos, they brought what they brought, and we're learning it now, which is nice, but l'may nafkamina. So two answers. Mar zutra amar l'pisuk tamim, for the trup. Right? Any Balkoris out there? You have to know, we know we have certain trup that indicates to the Balkore where to pause in the middle of a pasuk. For example, in esnachta. So you could have a pasuk where in the middle of the pasuk there's an esnach. We know what that looks like. And that indicates to the Balkore, pause here. Meaning, now the next part is going to be already a little bit of a different idea. So if olos were kvasim, meaning we're intuiting that, then that word olos should get an esnachta. But if it's one idea, then that should be like a, you know, mercha tipcha, or a revi'i, or some type of trup that doesn't indicate a stop at all.
That's it. It's really a separate pasuk.
You're saying now what
this
we have.
This is the way it's written.
Oh, that's correct. Well, this is before we know what we finalize. Correct. Right. Nowadays, our Torah, our chumashim have the trup with olos, so indicating that the olos were kvasim. But the question was, how do you read the pasuk? One of the nafkaminas is where do you put the trup?
The pasuk here doesn't show the word kvasim.
Kvasim down in the pasuk.
Right.
If you put the period after olos, we would be then intuiting that it's something else other than parin. So Tosos raises an interesting point here. There's a Gemara in Yuma which says that there are five psukim in the Torah where they don't have a way to really understand the pasuk. And not only that, the trup doesn't really help us. So why is this not an example of that? The Gemara there lists five psukim, not this. But shouldn't this be an example where when you read the pasuk without trup, you don't really know what's going on, and you need a trup to indicate what's going on.
Five examples of where the trup explains the meaning of pasuk mean?
Where the Gemara over there says, she'ein lahem hechra. There's no way to know what the pasuk means. I'll give you an example. I'll give you one of the pasuk. I don't know all five off the top of my head. I'll give you one. Coming up in a couple of weeks, Parshas Truma. Right? The pasuk says, Uba menorah arba gviim. And on the menorah, there were four goblets. These are talking about the goblets that, you know, if you think of the branches, think of the picture. Oh, there used to be the menorah over there. Can't look at it. Okay. But there's like these goblets as part of the branch. It says, Uba menorah arba gviim, mishukadim. Mishukadim, the word mishukadim means decorated. Kaftoreha ufracheha. It's cups and it's flowers. Because there were goblets, cups, and flowers. Okay? So, how do you read that pasuk? The word mishukadim is an adjective going on what? Do we say it means uba menorah arba gviim mishukadim, that the gviim were mishukadim? There was a certain design that an artist drew or engraved. Or do we say uba menorah arba gviim mishukadim kaftorel fracheha? The cups and the flowers, those were engraved. Not only that, if you look at a chumash nowadays, what's the trup on mishukadim doesn't help us. Because that pasuk, the way we read it now is, uba menorah arba gviim mishukadim kaftorah ufracheha. So mishukadim is almost an isolated word with the trup. Not only that, I saw in a sefer called Shari Ephraim, which is a more contemporary sefer, because of that, he suggests that a Baal Kore should read that pasuk without trup. Because however a Baal Kore is going to read it, it might indicate one with the other, and since we don't know, we don't want the Baal Kori to be pasuking for us. Right? The Baal Kori, he could be, like, he's gonna maybe combine it with one or the other.
He reads it without trup, where he puts
the comma. Yeah, where he puts the comma, it's gonna maybe indicate, and since we really don't know what was decorated, I mean, we have pictures, but those pictures maybe, so that's an interesting point, but I think what Tosfos is trying to say is those five examples are cases that even with the trup, it's hard to know what the pasuk means. And this is a good example of that, right? Even with the trup, we still don't really know. Here, the trup solves everything. Once you put the asnachta down, it's very clear. There are other interpretations of Tosos, but another interpretation is, in those five psukim, the trup actually changes the meaning of words. Whereas here, it doesn't change the meaning of words. All the words in the pasuk mean the exact same thing. It's just a matter of we're going to then intuit kvasim to olos. But again, that's why this is not included in that list of five. So that's one nafgamina as to whether you put the trup, determining whether the olos were kvasim or whether they were parim. A second nafgamina, says the Gemara, Vacha Breidi Ravava Amar, Laomer Harei El Olak Olak Shekavish Al Bamidbar. The guy says, I want to bring you olak to this amigdash, just like the olak they brought in the midbar. So what animal did he bring? Does he bring a sheep or does he bring a cow? So that's a classic not for me the Gemara will bring. So the Gemara says, Teku. So we don't know. I mean, the Gemara seems to not conclude as to the best way to read the pasuk. Now, you pointed out, Robert pointed out, that nowadays we do have the asnachta there. But from the Gemara's perspective, it didn't resolve it.
Which came first? The trup or the Gemara?
The trup was actually given to Har Sinai. All right. It was given to Har Sinai. The Radvaz actually in a tshuva asks, why wasn't the Torah, I mean, then we'd all be Baal Koreis. If there was trup in the Torah itself, there would be no skill of being a Baal Kore. We just, you know, like, it's like anyone can do the Haftorah, as long as you know the Niggin. So he asks, if trup was given Har Sinai, which the Gemara says it was, so why wasn't trup in the Torah? So he gives like a more of a Kabbalistic answer. He says that the reason why it wasn't given in the Torah is that the Gemara often will darshan words and say, yeah, the word says this, but it means that. Or you could read this word in three or four ways. That the Torah, we know that the Torah is the Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The entire Torah. When we don't learn about God, we learn the Torah because the Torah is representation of God. This is what He likes. This is what He doesn't like. This is what He's made up of. So putting trup in the Torah itself would actually limit our ability to have shivim panim. It would limit our ability to interpret it in so many different ways, where even though we know in our chumashim we have trup, but the fact that the Torah itself doesn't have trup, it allows more of an expansive and broad range of interpretations, whereas putting it there would limit our ability to tap into all the different understandings that the Torah has to offer to us. So the Gemara says over here, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Peah, the first Mishnah in Mesechus Peah, which says, a Mishnah that we say every day, Eilu Dvarim She'in Lehem Shir. The following things don't have a shear. Let's see what that means. HaPeah, right? We know Peah is leaving over a corner of our field. So that means that the Chacham might have given a shear to it, but on a Torah level, there's no amount you have to leave over in your field. HaBikurim, it means we know the first fruit brought to Beis HaMikdash, but how much? The entire fruit, a little piece of the fruit, two fruit, three fruit, we don't know. So the Torah never gave a shear on that. The harayon, right? We say it every day, but do you know what that means? That's what we're going to focus on today. What rayon means, we're going to get to that in a second. Gemilas chasadim, chesed knows no bounds. There's no, I visited one person in the hospital today, so now I'm done with my chesed for the day. No such thing. Talmud Torah also in lashir. That's tricky because there really is. The Gemara says that if a person says Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, in a certain sense, he's being Yotze Kriya Torah. But what it means is that our obligation to learn Torah is always. It's continuous. There's no time except for Tisha B'Av where we don't have an obligation. And even then, you can still learn things that apply to the day that we don't have an obligation to learn. So it's in Lam Shir in the sense that there's no set amount. You always have the obligation. So now the Gemara is going to say over here, Amar Yochanan, Kisvurin Anu Lomar Harayon Ein Lo Shir Lamala. When we say the Rayon, which I think you can understand means referring to the carbon Re'iyah, when we say it doesn't have a shear, we think it means there's no maximum shear. Meaning, if I want to pay $10,000, they're in most shuls and religious, they're not going to take. They'll take your money, right? You want to overpay for it? Fine. But we thought Yesh Lo Shir Lamata. We thought on a Torah level, there must be, you can't give a penny and say, okay, put this towards my carbon re'iyah. But, Achabar Rabba Ushia B'Rabbi V'Limid, Harayon Im L'Shir L'Lamala V'Lo L'Mata. On a Doraisa level, I bring a penny, or I bring a newborn baby animal that's this big and doesn't cost much at all, that's enough on a Torah level. Aval, Amrucha Chamim, the Chachamim set a minimum. And they said you have to bring a carbon that's at least a certain amount of money, at least a base level, that's something significant. So the Gemara asks, well, my Hara'ayon. When we say the Ra'ayon Ein Lo Shir, so we know we're in the world of Re'iyah, but like from the very first Mishnah, we saw Rashi and Tosfos had a little bit of there was a tension, if you remember, as to what Re'iyah actually refers to. It could be referring to the carbon Re'iyah, or what? Or Re'iyah, meaning going to see God, going to be Ola L'Regel, and going to the Azara to actually just be there. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Re'iyas Panim Ba'Azara. You know what Re'ayon means? It means going into the Azara to see God. V'Reish Lakish Amar, Re'iyas Panim Ba'Karban. It means Re'iyas Panim Ba'Karban. So take this back to the Mishnah in Peah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Lashir would mean there's no amount of times. It's not like you have a ticket that expires and now once I left, I have to get my hand stamped. Nothing like that. I can come back, I have continuous entry to the Beis HaMikdash and they're always going to accept me. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, Ein Lashir means Bekarbon, meaning there's no maximum or minimum amount of carbon that I bring to spend. So the Gemara qualifies this machlokes and says, it's not really true what we just said. Because Be'ikr HaRegel, which means on day one of Yontif, which is the main day where all these chiyuvim are manifest, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi Diri'iyas Panim B'Karbon. Everyone agrees that on day one, what we're talking about is Re'iyas Panim B'Karbon. Right? What does that mean? That means that on day one, everyone agrees I have to bring a carbon Re'iyah. Right? No one's gonna, even Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Re'iyas Panim Ba'Azara, is going to agree that I have to bring a carbon with me when I come on day one. And, let's say I come on day one multiple times. So according, it sounds like from the Gemara, that everyone would agree that on day one, whenever I come, I have to have something in my hand to give. On day one. That's interesting. I mean, we think of the carbon as being a one-time chiyuv. But if I go eat lunch and come back in the afternoon, I just want to go to the Azara again. According to this, it sounds like a be'ikra regal on day one, I have to have another carbon in my hand. And we'll see why. There's still going to talk about not coming empty-handed. Ki pligi, so when is the machlokas? B'shar yimos haregel. Days 2 through 7 of Pesach and Sukkot. Why? Meaning there, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that there's no shear of re'is panim. Meaning, I don't have to come if I don't want to come. Whereas, if I want to come, I can come as many times as I want. Whereas, Rish Lakish is going to say, we're talking about re'is panim b'karbon. So now, we have to clarify this further. Kol hecha de'asa v'aisi. Now, remember, we're in the world of days 2 through 7. So what kind of case are we talking about where we're discussing whether or not a person does have something in his hand, isn't bringing something? The Gemara says, kol hecha de'asa v'aisi. Let's say you come on day 2. With a carbon in your hand. So, kuli amalu pligi de makablamine. According to this point of the Gemara, everyone would agree we're not going to reject your carbon. You want to be extra generous and bring multiple carbonos on days 2, 3, 4? Go ahead. Ki pligi, it's to us of a loisi. You come on day 2 empty handed. Then, Rabbi Yochanan Savar, re'ias panim ba'azara. When we said ein lashir, that meant to call emas to asi lo tzarich la'asuye. That meant I can come as many times as I want, and when I come, I don't, except for day 1, I don't have to bring something every single time. That's what I meant in lashir. In lashir meant that I can be comfortable frequenting the mikdash without bringing a carbon every single time. However, Reish Lakish Amar, re'is panah b'karbon. But see, we generally think of in lashir as a kula. Right? No amount. I can bring basically nothing. Here, Reish Lakish is saying it's a chumrah. You know what ein lashir is? It means there's no amount of times that sort of get me out. Oh, I brought it once. I brought it twice. No, a million times. Once you step into that azara, you better have something in your hand. Says Reish Lakish, when we say ein lashir by re'ias panim b'karbon, that means the kol emas da'asi. Anytime you step into that azara, tzarech la'asuye, you need to bring a carbon with you. It's a very wide range of machlokas. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I can come as many times as I want, as long as first day I brought one carbon, that's it. According to Reish Lakish, if I come 100 times, I have to bring 100 carbonos. So, esvei Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Reish Lakish is the one who says that the shear or in lashir is referring to a carbon. So he's going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's all about being seen. But as long as I step in there, on day 1 I brought my carbon, day 2 through 7, I could in and out 100 times, no other carbonos are required. So he says, what do you mean? Doesn't the pasuk say, V'lo yira'up, lo yirupa nairei kum? I don't want to see you empty-handed. So the implication is, anytime I'm seeing you, whether it be 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, on days 2 through 7, don't show up without a carbon. How could you, Reish Lakish, say? Sorry, how could you, Rabbi Yochanan, say? Oh, it's in lashir means re'is panim ba'azara. I can come as many times as I want. I don't need to have something in my hand. But the pasuk says, Hashem says, don't come see me without bearing gifts. So Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yochanan responds, Bikra regel. When the pasuk says v'lo yiru panai rekam, that's talking about day 1. As we know, they both agree that on day 1. The more times you come, you have to bring more carbonos. Because day 1, that's the day where I really have to be seen, and I really have to bring my carbonos. Day 2 through 7, no. Esve, another kasha.
Question, so if you don't bring a korban the first day?
Yeah, you have tashlumin.
You have to bring it 1 time.
Yes. Yeah, we saw that. You have tashlumin to bring that.
If you go up for any time other than the regal, do you still have to bring a riyah?
No.
No, it's only...
No, the tashlumin is only on the regal. And
no,
once
no,
it,
not tashlumin, from that. So you go up on a regular week. Go
there's no chiyav to bring a carbon. No.
No.
So Esve, the Gemara asks, v'lo yiru panai reikam, bizvachim. So now, the Gemara, the pasuk doesn't tell us what you should have in your hand. Can I bring a little tchotchka that I can, what do I bring? Just empty handed can mean a lot of things. So the Gemara seems to assume it means bizvachim. I should bring a carbon with me. But the Gemara questions that. Ata omer bezvachim, o eino ela ba'ofos amenachos. Maybe I can bring a chicken, maybe I can bring libation, flour, other libations. So the Gemara says, v'dinhu. No, I'll bring you some logic to prove to me that what you have to bring when we say don't come empty-handed is a carbon. as a behema korban. Why? Because nemra chagiga lehedyot v'nemra re'iya legvah. We know the permanent chagiga is brought, and who gets to eat that? We do. So we're the hedyot. V'nemra re'iya, the korban re'iya, the oldest re'iya, is brought to Hashem, and who gets to eat that? Hashem, kaviyachol, eats that. Let's legvoa for a higher place. So these are parallel karbonos. They're brought at the same time. So they're living in parallel worlds. The chagiga is lehedyot, and the re'iya is legvoa. So ma chagiga hamur lehedyot bezvachim, we know the chagiga has to be a behema, has to be an animal. So too, the re'iya hamur legvoa, the carbon ear that we bring to Hashem, that is kulul Hashem, that's also zvachim. Umahin zvachim, right? Umahin zvachim. Olos. So what is the zvachim that I bring to Hashem? It must be an ola. So the Gemara says, Ata omer olos, o ena el shlamim. Who says that the carbon re'iyah, I mean, we call it an olas re'iyah, but who says it has to be an ola? Maybe it's a shlamim. So the Gemara says, no, I'll bring you another parallel logic. Because v'dinhu, nemra chagiga lehedyot, v'nemra re'iyah legvoa. Ma chagiga ha'amur lehedyot, b'ra'uy lo. Meaning the carbon is always patterned after who's going to be consuming it. So since the chagiga is said with respect to us, so it has to be a type of carbon that we can consume, which would be a shlamim. But the af re'iyah, ha'amur legvoa, when the pasuk refers to an olas re'iyah, sorry, a re'iyah, it refers to God eating that. So that should be a carbon that God gets to eat totally, completely. And what's that? Dero'ilo. A carbon that's fit to be completely eaten by God. And what's that? That's a carbon ola.
The
ola was, the Kohanim did not get to benefit from the carbon ola. That was kulul Hashem. And the Gemara says parenthetically, v'chein bedin shloye shulchancha malei v'shulchancha rab charikam. Right? Now we're sort of honing in on this parallelism. You have the chagiga, which we get to eat. So the necessity of the olas re'iyah is not just the fact that God commanded us to. But wouldn't it be very, impolite for us to partake in a carbon that we get to eat and not offer something up that God gets to eat himself? Now again, we're using the word eat metaphorically speaking, but it turns something that's offered kulul Hashem, if we're benefiting from one carbon, we should also at the same time offer a carbon that God gets to consume completely to himself. So, question mark. You see from very, very clearly from here that it says lo yiru panai reikam, and it says referring to a carbon. So how could you, Rabbi Yochanan, say on days 2 through 7, I don't have to bring a carbon every time I come? The pasuk says, don't come empty-handed with and have a carbon in your hand. So what's the answer going to be? Same answer we gave before. Amar Leir, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Be'ikar haregel. Yeah, it's talking about day 1. Okay? Third question. Esve, what are they changing the gears to here? Rish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Regalim B'Shana, Nistavi Yisrael Lalos B'Regel. There are 3 times a year, we know this. You come to Ali Ila Regel, Chagamatzas, Chagashivos, Chagasukos. Okay. Ve'ein Nirin Chatzain, you can't come up half, which the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines, so we'll save this to what that means, because the B'Yishim Shinemar Kol Zuchurcha. You have to come up whole, which seems to imply you can't come up half. Again, let's put that on the back burner for now. Ve'ein Nirin Rekanim, and also when you're being Olah Regel, don't come up empty-handed. Mishim Shenemar V'lo Yeru Panai Rekam. But the same answer we just gave in the last 2 questions we're going to give again, which is Amar Leih, Rabbi Yochanan responds Be'ikir HaRegel. That's talking about day 1. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, you asked me 3 questions, I'm going to ask a question on you, Rish Lakish. You, Rish Lakish, say there's no shear on Reis HaKarbon, which means that every time I come I have to bring a carbon. It's a lot. If you really want to see go to the Azara a lot, you have to bring a lot of carbonos. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish a question. Eser Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. The pasuk says Yira'eh, and we darshan Yira'eh, and Yira'eh Yira'eh. I mean, there's a double thing going on here. I mean, we come to see God, to be seen by God, and God sees us. So those two seeings are compared. Ma ani b'chinam. So God says, when I see you, I don't pay you to see you. When you come and God is looking at you, God doesn't have to put anything in your pushka. So af atem b'chinam. So we darshan, that obviously is not talking about the first day, because we know you have to bring a carbon the first day, but days 2 through 7, God says, when you come and see me, you know, leave your wallet at home. So your Rebbe says to Reish Lakish, you're telling me every time I come on days 2 through 7, I have to bring a carbon? But we make a heck between yira and yira'eh, and God essentially says to us, I see you for free, you can see me for free. So how are you going to respond, Reish Lakish?
But he doesn't see it for free, because you had not given the korban the first day, you mm-hmm. wouldn't be able to come.
But we're talking about day 3 through 7.
Still not free.
Why? Why? On day 3 through 7, all I'm doing is entering the azar.
Because you're writing punch ticket.
Oh, right. You're saying it's a ticket punch.
If I pay once and get it, you know, that's
not
free.
So it's not free. But right now it's free. My ear right now is free. Okay. But it's an interesting point. Right? You're saying we view, but you got because you're saying if you didn't bring it on day one, then right now you'd have to bring something.
Right.
I won't get 7 free.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a good point. So the Gemara basically, because of this question, it reinvents the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So forget everything you just learned. You might do it anyway, but now specifically forget it. Ela kol hecha de asav lo aisi kul yalma lo pligi de ayel umischazi v'nafik. Meaning, even Reish Lakish agrees that on days 2 through 7, I am permitted to come as many times as I want without a karban. No one's giving me a hard time because ma'ani b'chinam ma'fatem b'chinam. On days 2 through 7. I see you for free.
Even if you didn't come on the first day?
No, that's not that way. If you didn't come on the first day, then you have tashlumin to bring. But we're talking about a guy who brought day one, and now he just wants to keep frequenting the Beis Hamikdash. So such a person who comes day 3 through 7 without a karbon, no hard times. Ki pligi to us of icy. This guy happens to be very generous, so he comes on day 2 with a karbon, even though he wasn't required to bring a karbon. And now the question is, now that he's brought a karbon, do we make him bring a certain type of karbon? It's like, you know, you didn't have to bring something into the amusement park. If you bring it in, it has to be this size. You didn't have to bring, you could come on an airplane with no baggage. But if you bring it, it has to be this size in this type of carry-on. So similar var, that you don't have to bring a karbon 3 through 7 when you come. But if you come and you want to bring a karbon, it might have to fit specific guidelines. Rabbi Yochanan, de Amarias Panim Bazara, he says, well, we say Ein Lashir, that means Ein Lashir B'Riyas Panim Bazara. So what did that mean? Oh, only Riyas Panim Hu Dein Lashir. Yes, I can come as many times as I want. But if you're going to bring a karbon, Hala Karbon, Yesh Lashir. Meaning, there is a shir for this karbon. What does that mean? Yesh Lashir B'Karbon. It means that I have to bring a karbon every time I come. Because when I come with the karbon, that's the karbon. Reish Lakish Amar, Riyas Panim B'Karbon. No, Ein Lashir means that I don't have to bring a karbon whenever I want, and therefore Dafilu Karbonami Ein Lashir. Even the karbon doesn't have to have a shir, meaning I don't have to have a certain amount of the karbon I bring it. So essentially, it sounds to me like the machlokes here is boiling down to on days 2 through 7. When I bring a karbon, is that karbon essentially put through a magnifying glass and said, okay, you didn't have to bring it, but now that you brought it, it has to fit certain guidelines? Or do we say, this was a freebie anyway, so you're good either way. Whatever you bring is fine. Right? According to one opinion, now that you brought it, it has to fit certain guidelines.
He's saying, Rav Yochanan is saying that there is a maximum number you bring in. You only have to bring in one per festival. Reish Lakish, it says, you can bring as many as you want.
Of this type.
Right.
Only this type. You only have to bring one for the whole festival, according to Rabbi Yochanan.
Right. So say it again.
You show up as many times as you want, but you only need one car. You're limited. Maximum amount is one car.
You can't bring more.
You can't bring more than one.
Right. So when Reish Lakish says that Re'ias, one second. Right, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Ein Lashir means Re'ias Panim Bazara, that means there's no minimum or maximum for Re'iyah. But, like Robert said, that when it comes to the karbon, there is a maximum, which is only one. And therefore, we don't, in this case, we reject your karbon. Right? You never thought they would actually reject you. But here, because we're saying only the Re'iyah is Ein Lashir, they cut you off at one.
So, could you bring a karbon and a dove anytime you want?
Well, we're going to talk about that in the next dove.
Not a Re'iyah, though.
You want to switch it up, fine. Right. But we're talking about bringing a Re'iyah. Whereas, Reish Lakish says, Ein Lashir meant the Re'iyah itself, and therefore there's no maximum. So every time I come, again, I didn't have to bring it, but if I bring it, I can keep bringing it, and they'll keep accepting it. Good point. So Esvei, Hukar Raglecha, Vibes Reyacha. Reish Lakish just told us that Ein Lashir means I can bring as many karbonos as I want. But we have a pasuk in Mishle, which tells us that God says, you know what? I'm not so happy. Get your feet out of my house. You stop bringing karbonos. I've had enough of your karbonos. How can Rish Lakish say, bring as many as you want? It sounds like God doesn't want too many of our karbonos. The Gemara answers, Hasam bechataos v'ashamos. Yeah, karbonos you bring after you sin, or after you do a suffix sin, God says, let's try to do better next time. I'd rather not see you in the principal's office all the time. So I'm not encouraging you to keep bringing karbonos of chatos and ashamos. But if you want to bring 1,000 olas re'iyas, go for it. Right? Kidra Belevi. Kidra Belevi, he posed a stira. Rami, he posed a stira. Ksiv, hukar, raglachan, bes recha, which sounds like God does not want our karbonos. Uksiv, avobisacha, avobisacha. Beolos, come, bring karbonos, as many as you want. Lokasha. Kan bechatos v'ashamos, when God says he doesn't want our karbanos, that's talking about karbanos we bring because we sin, because God says, I would rather you not sin. Kan ba'os v'shlamim, where God says, bring as many as you want. Tanyin amihachi, hukiragachon b'israelcha, bechatos v'ashamos. Hakasa medaber, it's talking about chatos v'ashamos. Ata omer bechatos v'ashamos, o'enu ella ba'olos v'shlamim. How do you know? Because kishu omer avo b'secha ba'olos, ashal l'chane darai, when the pasuk says, when God says, yeah, bring karbanos to me, I like that. Hari olos shlamim amar. We know that pasuk is talking about olos and shlamim. So ma ani makayim hukar raglachem beis re'acha. So when does God not want our karbanos? It must be bechatos v'ashamos hakosav medaber. Okay, pretty simple distinction here. So now we have to pick up on one line that we glossed over, which is we learned that from Kol Zechurcha that you shouldn't come to the Beis Hamikdash bechatzain in half. So what does that mean? A person who has half a body shouldn't come. What does that mean? So, Savar of Yosef Lameimar, Rav Yosef thought what this meant is, Man de Islay Asara Banim, someone who has 10 sons, Lo Lisku Ha'idna Chamisha, Ulumachar Chamisha. He shouldn't split them up. Okay, the first five sons, you only have a van, 7 seats, so you have the first five sons will come today, I'll make the trip back and pick them up, and then the other five sons will come tomorrow, and maybe that's what it means, Ein Nir El Chatzon. You gotta bring your whole family. But every time we have a Savar, we know we're gonna reject that. So, Amar Le Abaye, Pshita. Yeah, what? Of course that's the case. Because Haim Minayu Mashvis Lehu Poshim, the Haim Minayu Mashvis Lehu Reason, right? Imagine telling the five sons that are not coming today, say, you guys, you sit on your couch today, we'll bring you tomorrow. Right? How is that encouraging Zrizus? Obviously, all the kids you want to bring the first day, so that can't be what Chatzon, of course, we're being Mechanech, these children. What kind of Chinech is it when you tell the kids, you know what? Okay, you could go to the 10 o'clock. What do you mean? Of course, you want all the kids to be the first ones there. So, Ella Kri L'Mayasa. So, at least one of my personal favorite Gemara so far we've had in this Masechta so far. What does Kol Zechurcha really teach us? What does Chatzon really teach us? L'Kada Achirim. We saw this earlier. Titanya Achirim, we saw this in Davdal Amud Aleph. Achirim Omrim, Hamakamets, Vametzarif, Nechosh, Vabursi. Right? The bad smelling jobs. The people who smell bad, because of their occupation, they are actually putter from going up Alila Regel. Why? Because the Pazuk says, and Emar, Kol Zechurcha. Mishi Yachol Lalos Im Kol Zechurcha. You have to be able to go up with your whole shul, with your whole community. Yatsu Elu, She'en Yachol Lalos Im Kol Zechurcha. Who wants to go up with smelly people? So no one's going to want to go up with them. And since they can't be Kol Zechurcha, they're putter. Remember, we spoke at that time, the Rambam, so what, can they take a shower and then they're Chayev? We spoke about if that really solves the problem or not. But essentially, that's Kol Zechurcha. So finally, we got to Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we're finally up to the next mission.
How does that explain?
You can't go up with half of your people. Meaning, the people who are smelly, they're going up in a separate bus. That's Chatzon. You have to be able to go up with everyone.
So what does that mean, though? I don't understand. So you have a group of 10 and 4 are smelly.
You just finished a hockey game. You got the goalie. You want the goalie in your car going home?
Chatzon means, again, we're talking about pride, we're talking about the ability to. So me and you, if our whole community is going up to Eli Ragel, so we go up Kol Zechurcha, right? These people cannot go up Kol Zechurcha, rather they're Chatzon. When they come up, they're not with everyone else, because they don't want to go up with them.
So you still consider going with everyone if they're not there.
If they're not there, right, exactly. Because you have the ability to be with everyone, they don't have the ability to be with you.
He said they were putter from going, right?
They are putter from going. But his point was like, so why are you going with Kol Zechurcha if you're not going with them?
They said, why are they Chatzon then?
They're Chatzon because they're not with everyone.
But they're not going.
That's why they're putter. Because in near and Chatzon, don't show up if you're not going to show up with everyone. In near and Chatzon. Okay, so the next Mishnah is talking about continuing our discussion of Olos. So Gemara said, the Mishnah says, Olos b'moed bos menachulin. So the carbon olas re'iyah that you bring on the moed, now it's a counterintuitive. We think of moed as yontif, but when the Mishnah uses the word moed, it refers to chol moed. Right? Halavai, we should view chol moed as a moed. right? Put the chol in the moed, or put the moed in the chol. So the carbon oil you bring on chol moed has to be from chulin. What does chulin mean? That means a regular animal, something that's not demarcated for another purpose. Whereas the carbon shlamim, the carbon chagiga, can be brought from meiser. It can be brought from something that's already designated to be brought for something else. We'll see why that's the case. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, B'Sham Yomrim, Menachulin. The carbonos are brought, now here we're not talking about the carbon Pesach, we're talking about the regular carbonos on Pesach. So B'Sham says, they have to be brought from Chulin. B'Sham Yomrim, Mena Meiser, they can even be brought from Meiser. Again, the Gemara is going to explain these things.
So we're not talking, now we're not talking about Riyah, we're talking about Chagiga?
Both. Both. And we'll see why Pesach's different. So Yisrael Yotze Yidei Chovason, the Nedarim and Nedavos, U'maiser Behema. So now we switch gears. Remember, there are three carbonos we bring on Yantip. What are the three carbonos? Re'iyah, Chagiga, and what's the third? Shlom, what's it called? Shalmei Simcha, right? So now this next part of the Mishnah says that in terms of you being Yotze, your Shalmei Simcha, you could literally use anything. Meaning, let's say I pledged 2 months before Yantif, I want to bring this carbon to Beis HaMikdash. Just stop. I could actually wait, or when I get there, you know what? I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll use this for Shalmei Simcha. That's fine. Nidarim, Nidavos, I made a pledge, I made a neder, Meiser Behema. Right? I have a herd of animals. Every tenth animal I have to bring to Beis HaMikdash. That tenth animal, I can kill two birds with one stone, actually use that as my Shalmei Simcha. That Kohanim, Bechataos Vashamos, Ube Bechor, Bechaz Veshok. Right, we know Kohanim get to partake in various karbanos. They get to eat parts of Chatas and Hashamos. By Bechor, they get to eat the Chaz Veshok, the thigh, and other parts of the animal. So they could actually, when they're eating those parts of the animal, that can count for the Shalmei Simcha. Remember we said earlier, you don't actually have to bring a Shalmei Simcha. But what's the whole point? You have to eat basar. So,
as long as you're eating a big meal.
Now, if you don't have basar, the way to do it is bring a Shalmei Simcha. But the Kohen here, he has a full plate of meat. So just eat that, and it will count. Aval lo be'ofos v'lo be'menachos. You can't be yotzi your Shalmei Simcha by eating chicken or by having flour or something. Why?
Is that referring to everybody, just the Kohanim?
The last part?
Yeah.
Everyone. Everyone.
The minchos, wouldn't that be a separate sacrifice?
Correct, but we're saying you might think that I'm eating something yotze with anything with chicken or right? Because we say that in simcha el bebasar. So the Gemara asks over here an interesting diuk. El olos b'moed hu debos menachulin. So the Gemara seems to say that the carbon ola that I bring on chol moed, that has to be brought from an animal that has not been designated for anything else. Implication being, habiyonto v'namaiser. So we're telling me that the olos riyah that I bring on day one, I can bring that from some money that's already being designated for maiser. Amai. And here's the key concept for the whole amud here. Davar shebechova hui, the whole davar shebechova eina ba el menachulin. We have a concept that something that I'm required to do, I can't use that with something else that I'm also chayv to do. So here, on the moed, on day one, right? On chol moed, there's no chiv to bring a re'iyah. But on day one there is. So I have a chiv to do it. So essentially what Gemara is saying is, you're not allowed to kill two birds with one stone. Right? If I have a chiv of olos re'iyah, I also have a chiv of meiser. Now we're going to tell me I could team up and use the animal that I designate for meiser as my olos re'iyah. No, on chol moed it's not a problem. I didn't have the chiyuv to bring the olos re'iyah. But if I have one chiyuv, I can't use another chiyuv. So you might say, okay, this is ancient history. This is karbanos. I'll prove to you, this is maisim, this halacha comes up maisim b'chol yom. I'll give you a couple examples. Ravad Yosef in a tshuva discusses like this. He once asked a shayla that a person had he gave two examples. Number one was there was a woman who was paying a man to say Kaddish. One of her parents. Right? She was an only child, so she was paying someone to say Kaddish for one of her parents. And then, lo aleinu, this person, this guy, one of his parents died within that year. So the question is, can he take the money, keep the money, now he's a chiyuv, and just keep going? Because now, I'll have both people in mind, right? Now he's saying Kaddish for his parents and for her parent. Ravai is absolutely not. That's davar shebechova. You already had a chiyuv, say kaddish for her parent. Now you have a chiyuv, say kaddish for your own parent. You can't use your one amud to both. So he suggests you have to tell her, pay someone else. I can't do it anymore because I have this chiyuv that I can't use by having mine two things. I'll give you another example. Rav Avadya says a person who has, let's say, one of his parents passes away and he knows the yahrzeit. Yahrzeit is Tu B'Shvat, let's say, for example. Okay, then his other parent either is lost or is kimpalat in the Holocaust. Passes away in circumstances where you haven't seen them for years, you find out they passed away. So you have no clue what the yahrzeit is. So when does a person kovei a yahrzeit? So it's a machlokes in halacha. Right? Some people say, on the day you heard. Right? But the Magen Avraham says, you can choose any day of the year. Right? You don't know. So just choose a day and that be the day. So the guy wanted to know, can he make his father's yahrzeit? But why do you want to do that? It's not like nowadays where you put out a little herring. The real halacha of yahrzeit is supposed to fast. Fast. So here, it's not a fast 2 days of the year. Fast one day. So you combine the mother's yahrzeit, the father's yahrzeit, fast on one day. Rav Avadya says, absolutely not. You cannot choose that day. Even though Magen Avraham says you can choose any day of the year, but you can't choose that day. Because davar shebechova eino ba elamen achulin. So this really does come up in practical. But he's getting paid differently for both people?
Yeah, in other words.
Is he taking money from two different people to say Kaddish and to have in mind both of them?
Yeah.
So Rav Avadya says not proper. Right, I'm saying so again.
But in
Rav Avadya's case, you're saying.
Neither one is mandatory.
Right? In Rav Avadya's case, if someone pays you to do something, this is mandatory. Now you have to do it.
So why can't you take with two? When you're ready.
You have a davar shebechova. And if you want to take a new one. According to, again, I don't know, there might be other opinions. There might be other opinions where Rav Avadya seems to say, if you're getting paid for something, now that's a chova for you. So I can't take a new chiyuv with using whatever I was doing for the first chiyuv. Right. Okay, that's Rav Avadya's opinion. I'm sure there are other opinions. Okay, so remember, back to the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara wants to know, the diak was that only on Chol Moed, I can't bring, I have to bring from Chulin. Implication being that on the first day of Yontif, I can bring a miser animal as my carbon, but you can't kill two birds with one stone. The Gemara says, "Dechite mahal kamash b'lan to olos b'moed bos b'yontav eno bos." Maybe the reason why the Mishnah discussed olos on chol moed and yontav was for a different tiyak, to teach you that I actually am not allowed to bring an ola on yontav. You'll tell me, but the halacha is I have to. Okay, fine. So bring it on day two. Meaning, it's almost like a technicality. Now, why would you not be allowed to bring it on day one? Because keman ki beishamai. Titznan beishamai omrim. Mevin shlamim ve'in somchan alehem. On yontif, I can bring a shlamim, but can't lean on it because Rashi points out there's a shvus of using a bal chayim. There's issues of moving animals on yontif, and I'm leaning on it, it's going to move, and therefore there might be an isser on that. Of a lo olos, beishamai says I am not allowed to bring a carbon ola on yontif on actual moed, on actually what we call yontif. Why? Says Rashi, because we have a halacha on yontif, it has to be lachem. Right? When I cook on yontif. Only for me. So when I bring a carbon, similarly, it's only for me. An ola is kula l'Hashem. It's not for me. So Beis Shammai says, I can't bring carbons that are not for me. Yontif lachem. And therefore, but Beis Hillel omrim, mevi'in shlamim va'olos, b'som chayim. Beis Hillel says, no. I can bring shlamim, olos, I can lean on them. He's not concerned about that. So do we really want to suggest that what the Mishnah is teaching us is that I can't bring a carbon ola on yontif? That would be Beis Shammai. We don't really paskin like that. It doesn't seem like that's what the Mishnah is going for. So the Gemara answers, chisura mechzura, v'hachitani. Right? The Mishnah was missing words. We spoke about in the very first year why the Gemara does that so that the Mishnahs are easier to understand. V'hachitani. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Olos nedarim nedavos. When you have an ola that's voluntary, or you have an ola that you pledged some time ago, b'moed ba'os, b'yom tov eno ba'os. Right? You can only bring those on chol moed, not on yontif. Why not? Because remember, yontif, there's iser. Right? On chol moed, there's no iser. On yontif, there's an iser to shecht something. So the way to avoid that, or the way to get around that, is if I have a chiyuv. So do I have a chiyuv to use a neder ola on yontif? We're not talking about the carbon of ear right now. We're talking about 2 months ago, you pledged, I want to bring an animal as a korban. Stam. So I can't bring that animal on day one of Yontif. Because what's my heter to shecht it today? I can only shecht things that I'm obligated to bring today. And therefore, but b'moed bos, on chol moed, I can bring those nidarm and nidavos animals. But b'yom tov, ein obos, I cannot bring them on Yontif. But olas ve'olas re'iya, ba afilu b'yom tov. We know, since the olas re'iya is a chiyuv on Yontif, right, I can bring that. The same I can bring an olas tamid or any obligatory karban on Yontif itself. Ukishihi ba, but when the olas re'iya is brought on day one of Yontif, so now our new understanding of the Mishnah is the Mishnah was referring to the Olas Re'iyah of day one. And it was telling you that that karban cannot be brought from another allocation because of the concept of Dabar Shebachova, Eina Ba Ela Menachulin. But in contrast, Vishalmei Simcha Ba'in Af Min HaMaiser. Why? What's the logic there? Because remember, Vishalmei Simcha is not really a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv that I eat meat. But it's not a chiv that I shech the carbon.
So can you do it on the first day?
Yes.
But if it's not an obligation, how do you cut on the first day? What's doing shenet in the dava?
You're saying, how do I shech the shal misimcha?
You can't do it in the dava.
If you need the meat.
You need the meat. Oh, we're saying you don't have any meat. I mean, it's a chiv only when you need it.
Right.
But I don't, meaning, my chiv is I need to eat meat. I need to eat meat. It's I'm allowed, if the way to get there is through shechting the carbon, then I can shech.
You use the nidavos to meet your meat? Yeah, take a nidavar?
Yeah, that's why we say, so you can use that.
But not on the first day.
Let's say you don't have a nidavar and nidavos.
Alright, but let's say you do have it on the first day. Can you use that to make
for Shalmei Simcha?
On the first day?
Yes.
Alright, so this is only...
Yes. Shalmei Simcha can even be brought from Maaser. The Chagigas Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, and the Chagiga on the first day of Pesach, that's when Beis Shammai says, Minachulin. And Beis Hillel Omrim Mina Maaser Tainami Hachi Olos and Darman Adavos B'Moed Baos B'Yom Tov Eino Baos. Right, if it's a voluntary carbon, I can't bring that day one because what's my heter to shecht it? But Olos Re'iya Ba Afilu B'Yom Tov G'shi Ba. But when I bring the Olos Re'iya on day one, I can only bring it from Chulin. But Shalmei Simcha Ba'in Af Min HaMaaser. So we'll stop here. Next week we have to figure out is what's the difference in Chagiga on the day one of Pesach. Why is that like a unique category? And we'll see, there are actually two different chagigas on day one of Pesach.